Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Amen. Well, I want to start off by saying a great big thanks to the Hovises. And I don't know where Gracie is now. There's Gracie and her daughter and even her husband. I don't know where he went. Anyways, they put the display on in the foyer. Isn't it lovely when you come in to see that? And I love that they're using their talents for God, right? Thank you so much. And to this lovely display here, we had this beautiful display out, and I thought, well, we need something for Thanksgiving on the stage, because you don't want to just look at me, right? Like, you want to look at something else, and besides the piano player, the good-looking piano player that we have, and the really good-looking piano player that we have, the most excellent, beautiful, okay. And that wasn't even my husband saying that. Okay, but I wanted to have this display because we've been giving to Dare to Care, and some of you may not know what Dare to Care is. Dare to Care, does anybody ever get a card in the mail for your birthday, or a card in the mail, not the ones from like the office staff, it says these really nice, and it's really well printed out because mine's usually kind of rushed. But it's there to say, hey guys, we love you, and it's individually done. And if anybody ever needs help with food, this is the Dare to Care pantry. I mean, well, this isn't all of it, but this is just some of a display of what people have given. And I'm just so thankful for Gail Sargent and her team for doing that for me. This is so great. This is one of those moments where I want everyone, every ear listening. And as I say to the kids when I'm talking to them, okay, turn your ears on. You didn't do it. Okay, you got to turn your ears on. Come on, there's kids in the service. They're watching you. Turn your ears on. Okay. This is super important. This is an excellent testimony, okay? I'm testifying here. Somebody put this on my desk, and it says, can you announce before you begin to preach? Okay, this is a great testimony. Two separate people donated money last Sunday, specifically to give someone a Thanksgiving dinner. And Dare to Care was able to put a meal together from Safeway for a single dad and boys. And when they called to tell him about it, you know what he did? He cried. He doesn't get his kids often, and he was having them for only one day over Thanksgiving, and he wanted to do something special for them. Hey, what a great testimony. Because of these two people who listened to the Lord, who said, you know what, instead of giving a donation this way, I want you to do it financially. God, yay. He heard this man's prayer. I just want to testify to that. Well, I think the fall is in the air. And what does that mean? It means turkey. Yay! I know Snoopy is sort of American, and that's in November. But you know what? Turkey! Yay! Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Turn to the person on the left and say Happy Thanksgiving. Oh, come on, and turn to the person on the right and say the same thing. And if you don't have anybody on left or right, just turn around and you do the same thing. Well, you know that's what we're all going to do today. We're going to just fill our bodies with all kinds of good food, right? Amen, hallelujah, praise the Lord, thank you, Jesus. Oh, and before I forget, like, thank you to all the people who gave, because this is a huge increase for our pantry, and we're going to really help a lot of people with that. So today or tomorrow, we're going to eat mashed potatoes, turkey, different kinds of vegetables, preferably for me, cauliflower with cheese sauce, lots of cheese sauce. And then there's always pumpkin pie, there's desserts, and there's always, ready for it, kids? Whoopin' cream, right? That's the American side of coming out of me. This whooping cream. It's not whipping cream, it's whooping cream. And the more you have on that pumpkin pie, the better it is, right? Like, what is it they say? Are you going to have some pumpkin pie with that whooping cream? Well, that's what you say to me, but maybe not you. But do we really stop and give thanks like we should? Has Thanksgiving for you just become a tradition where you'll be with your family and maybe you eat and then you watch TV and you watch each other's stomachs grow and then that tryptophan kicks in and you're feeling kind of tired and nobody wants to do the dishes? Can I hear an amen? Okay, maybe for a few of you. But then later you go home and what do we reach for in the medicine cabinet? Tums. Wow, really? I'm the only one who reaches for a Tums? Okay, maybe Zantac. Okay, maybe you don't. Well, I do. Thanksgiving is supposed to be a time of reflection, too. A celebration of thanks and praise to God for so many things. At Thanksgiving mealtime, do you take the time to pray for the food and, of course, for the cook, right? Yes. And do you stop as a family and pray a prayer of thanksgiving for everything he's brought you throughout this year? Like instead of just a, thank you, Lord Jesus, for this food, for our family that we get together, and for the cook, amen. See, there's a difference between taking the time to say thanks, giving the opportunity to say a blessing or encouragement to somebody for all that they've done, for all that they've worked through. Okay, here's a Bible quiz for you. And you might not all agree with me, but I think it's a good quiz. Have you ever stopped to think of when the real first Thanksgiving happened? The real first Thanksgiving, okay? I am not talking about the pilgrims and the Mayflower and the indigenous people and they get together and share food. No, I'm talking about the real first Thanksgiving. Anybody? Well, to understand the depth of what I want to talk to you about today, we need to look at the first book of the Bible. And we're going to look at Genesis. And I want to visit with Noah and his family. You got it now. And so, did you know that Noah is one of the most well-known men in the Bible? Well, he is. And if we look at the story of Noah and the ark, we would look at Genesis 6 to 9. Genesis chapter 6 to 9. And so if you have your Bibles, you can turn there now, because we're going to be slowly going through different verses and such. And, you know, knowing that the older children will be joining us for service today, some of you may not know, part of my job here at the church is to work with the children. And I love it. And I thought, I'm going to take pictures for the slides from a book that they might enjoy. And it's from the actual Brick Bible. Have anybody have that translation? Oh, a few people? Yeah, I figured the Schneiders would have it. Okay. And it's great illustrations. And let me just show you if I can get this working. My computer. Oh, I got to point to the computer. That's why. So this is it here. Noah's Ark, the Brick Bible for kids. Oh, come on. Do you like Lego? It's great. Okay, so maybe you haven't heard the actual story of Noah. So we're going to review what happened in the Bible. And as I do, I want to tell you the story as well. And, you know, some people have 3 points to their sermon. I'm going to tell you 12 key components from the life of Noah as we go through. Okay. Oh, we're not going to go that way. We're going to go this way. All right. So, number one. God decides to destroy the world with a flood because the earth is filled with corruption and violence. Genesis 6, verse 11 and 13. You can look there and look at it. See, wickedness permeated this generation. And Genesis 6, verse 5 shows God looking at man who was constantly planning and doing evil. And therefore, he decided to bring destruction upon man. And God is greatly grieved. And he decides to act with judgment. I don't know if you can see some of those faces, but they are like really mean looking, right? And so God says, we got to change this. So he decides to make a flood. But first he says, you know what? I am going to save only one man and his family. And I'm going to save some of the animals that I've created. And Noah finds favor with God because he was a righteous man. Genesis 6 talks about this. It's only out of God's loving kindness that he did not destroy everything and everyone. See, he saved Noah and his family because they were righteous. Genesis 6 tells us this. We are told that specifically Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and that he walked with God. That's righteousness. Let me read it again. He was just, he was perfect in his generations, and he walked with God. Noah reverenced right and justice. He ordered his family well. He lived in the presence of an unseeing being who is right and true, and who had appointed him to be the head of a family. By the orderliness and quietness of his life, he became a witness against the turbulent, self-willed world in the midst of where he was living. But there is in him an earnest interest in his fellow man. But he separates from them only that he may be a witness to them of the good that they are flying from, and which he claims for himself and his family because he believes that God designs it for the creatures he has formed. Humanity will be given a new start because Noah is considered righteous. Well, how about praying that prayer of thanksgiving to God at your dinner table today? Thank you, God, for Noah. But what if God had not found one righteous man or woman at that time? What would have happened to mankind? Let that sink in. Where would we be? Would we be here? So number three, God tells Noah to build a big boat, okay? So kids, if you ever have stepped onto a football field, a real one, a big one, it's 1.5 more size of a football field long, and it's 4 stories high. And people begin to laugh at Noah. Genesis 6, God gave Noah careful instructions. It's here that we must think of God's amazing grace that will be displayed. Because although he's getting rid of most of what he originally created, he was showing grace to a few people because of their righteous living. It's here that Noah would recall the story of creation where God said many years previous, and it was good. Remember each day of creation, it was good. And then he makes man and he says, it was very good. Well, what heartbreak must have gone God had gone through, knowing that what he created, which was good and very good, was now going to be destroyed. But the plan was in place. Interesting. Did you know that it took Noah 120 years to build this boat? Genesis 6, verse 3. 120 years. Some of us don't even live that. Many of us don't live that long. 120 years. And what kind of ridicule must he have had to endure as people watched him and his family building this boat? People would have questioned him saying, did you say that God told you to build this thing? Talk about bullying in Noah's day. Well, number four, God told Noah to load the boat with a male and female of every kind of animal, including birds. You know how it goes, the two by two, And in addition to these animals, did you know that there were 12 extra creatures? There were 6 male and 6 female of each clean species, presumably for food and for sacrifice. And as well, vegetables, of course, for all the occupants on the boat were stored on board. Well, of course, there were the farm animals. I love that. And then there were the wild animals. I love how they create the lion's face, right? He looks actually kind of sad and old, but, you know. And then there's the birds. Seriously, do you think Noah got on top of an ostrich to get a net to get a bird? I don't think so, but it's cute for the drawing. The creepy things that crawl. I think when I do get to heaven, I will ask God, why did he create some of those? Because they're really the creepy. I don't know, some of you, maybe you like those things. Not for me. Julian, I know you're laughing right now. And then, of course, there was all the food that had to be brought that was needed for the people and the animals to eat. I can't even imagine. Like, how do you know how many grapes to bring or how many oranges or, right? Like, that shopping list was pretty long. And then all the animals, they get in the boat. But Genesis 7, verses 15 and 16 says, they come to the boat and they come in pairs. Can you just imagine? Noah's got his clipboard. Okay, yeah, got two of those. Yeah. Oh, yep, two of those. Oh, look at that. Oh, wow. They're all in pairs. They're actually coming two by two, and they're okay, yeah. Like as if you're on a cruise. Okay, come on this way. All right, ostriches to this side. Lions, oh yeah, you're gonna go straight in there. Birds, upstairs, floor four, right? Can you imagine? Sorry, I'm having a little fun today. I just came off, actually, a week of relaxing and refreshment, so bear with me. But on an aside note, would it really be a vacation that you'd want to be on? I don't think I'd sign up for that tour. You would definitely have to have heard the voice of God with that amount of animals. And really, like, how stinky is that going to get? Really, I thought I'd get a laugh out of that one. Like, how stinky is that? That's going to get stinky. But finally, number 5, Noah. Okay, can you guess at how old Noah is at this point in time? Yeah, he's actually quite old. He's much older than that. Age 600. What? How many wrinkles would you have when you're 600? But Noah is 600, and he brings his wife, his 3 sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and their wives, and they're inside of the boat, and God shuts the door. Genesis 7, verse 16. So there's only 8 people in this 1.5-foot long, 4 stories, not foot long, football fields long, and 4 stories high, and there's only 8 people to take care of all these animals. And it's here that I stop and think, what was Noah and his family's state of mind? Like, yeah, funny and all, but mankind is going to be destroyed. Like the neighbor that he had been talking to about Jesus, see you later. His home was going to be destroyed. And everything that he knew, like maybe that favorite tree that he used to go, you know, hang out under. They must have really felt sad getting on that boat. And God, have you ever thought what we would have had to do to make God want to do this? How bad did it really get? I mean, we saw like a funny caricature picture up there, but man, mankind was bad. man, right now, look around, mankind is bad. So number six, God causes it to rain 40 days and 40 nights until every person and animal on earth is destroyed. Interesting. A commentator said, first time that rain from the sky is mentioned in the Bible in Genesis 7. The flood is described in the New Bible Dictionary as a deluge of water sent by God in the time of Noah to destroy all but a selected few from the earth. Its meaning must be taken to be a cataclysmic deluge. This would be high and overflowing water. And think of how hard it would have to rain for the waters to cover the earth so that the boat is lifted off the ground. Do you know, in verse 11 in chapter 7, if you're looking at your Bibles, it says, the windows of heaven were opened and all the fountains of the great deep were broken up. And Genesis 7 verses 19 and 20 says that the high mountains were covered. Man, I complain, sorry, Lord, about the rain that we get here in November and February. I should stop that. It rained so much that even the tallest mountains were covered. What did Noah face? Okay. So the rainfall was 40 days, 40 nights, and then they floated. Every man, woman, child, creature, and animal had now been wiped out. Only what was in the ark had lived through this great storm. And yet the waters continued to flood the earth for another 150 days, says Genesis 7, verse 24. Months passed while they were in the boat with the animals. And number seven, Noah and his family are on the ark. Did you know this? For over a year. Genesis chapter 8. See, they weren't just in the ark for 40 days and 40 nights. It would take just over a year on the boat. A year. I'm sure many of you would remember learning the story in Sunday school about Noah and the cute little ark, and then the animals go on. But as we read the story in the Bible, it's not correct to believe that the whole story just occurred in 40 days. You know, they get on, they have a cruise for 40 days, 40 nights, and then they get off. No. It rained 40 days and 40 nights. But then the rains had to recede. They had to go somewhere. And the muck and the mud had to dry up before God would let them out. And so Noah entered the ark. This is for you mathematicians. He entered the ark on the 17th day of the second month of his 600th year. And the earth was dry on the 27th day of the second month of his 601st year. Happy birthday. So if we were to count that there was 30 days in a month, the flood lasted 371 days. What a cruise. Genesis 8 verse 1, I love what it says. But God remembered Noah and the animals that were there in the ark, and he sent a wind. And the waters began to recede. So number eight, the boat comes to rest on Mount Ararat. Genesis 8 verse 4, if you're following in your Bibles, and the ark rested in the seventh month, which would have been October, on the 17th day of the month upon the mountains of Ararat. Genesis 8 verse 5, and the waters decreased continually until the 10th month, which would have been January, in the 10th month on the first day of the month were the tops of the mountains being seen. And Genesis 8, verse 13, and it came to pass in the 601st year, in the first month, which would have been April, the first day of the month, the waters were dried up from off the earth, and Noah removed the covering of the ark, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. So here, at Genesis 8, verse 13, it's calculated to be 314 days that have passed. And in Genesis 8, verse 14, 57 days later, in the second month, which would have been May, on the 7th and 20th day of the month, was the earth dried. That totals 371 days. 365 days for a year, and then a few more. So number 9. While on the boat, Noah releases a raven and then a dove multiple times. And on one trip, the dove brings back an olive branch. And then eventually, the dove does not return. Well, they realize that life is out there. At least, the trees must be growing. The dove brought back an olive branch. They were saved from destruction. They survived. I'm a survivor. I like what one commentator wrote. The 8 souls saved from the deluge are types of that little flock which rides safely and triumphantly. Though the floods lift up their waves and the billows break over them, their safety is assured because they are in Christ. Noah was a righteous man. Dads, heads of the home, single moms, you're the head of the home. Be righteous. Okay. So, God opens the door of the ark. And Noah sees the sun. And they look around. And what do they see? Well, number one, there's no life. There's no animals or birds out there except for that one dove. It must have seemed so desolate. And men and women and children, they're dead. And I'm sure they were all around where they looked. Does it smell, you think? Things had died. Things had rotted. And although the land was dry, was everything dry? Or maybe did it smell good to finally have a fresh breath of air instead of that stinky ark animal air? Oh, yeah, that's good, Lord. Yeah, maybe there wasn't a smell. These are just some things I thought about. But you know what else? It would have been quiet. That headache that maybe Noah's wife had for so long listening to those animals. You know, she must have been in like, oh, peace to hear that. So refreshing to not hear the sounds. At least even for just a few moments. I love what this comic strip says. I hope you can read it. One joke with elephants, some cruise. It rained for the entire trip. If animals could speak, right? Just pardon me for a second. I need to grab something back here. Okay, and just remember, I'm a children's pastor, so don't laugh at my work. I'm just being silly. Well, number 10, after leaving the ark, Noah builds an altar. Okay, if you don't know, that's what this is supposed to be. Okay, just saying. So Noah builds an altar, and makes sacrifices to the Lord. God gives humans at that time permission to eat animals. That's from Genesis 8 as well. In Genesis 8, the first thing Noah did was build an altar to the Lord and make a sacrifice to him. Noah leads in this. But you know what? It's the whole family who are expressing their great thankfulness to the Lord for saving them from this destruction. It was a sacrifice of thanksgiving and praise, and their love and adoration for God had grown so much through this long pilgrimage, 371 days. You know what, maybe they said, thank you, Lord, for bringing us through. We have a future. We hope in you. Can you say the same at the end of a trial or a journey that you have gone through? Sometimes we can. We can look back and go, okay, I understand now why I went through that. The family really did stop and give thanks like they should have, but do we always stop and give thanks like we should? Noah stepped out into a desolate world where one might think that he should start building a house for himself, but what does he do? He begins with an altar to God. The first thing in the new world was an act of worship. Wow, people. The first thing. When you get up in the morning, is the first thing, thank you, Jesus. Just as we now are to express our thankfulness, not by burnt offerings anymore, but by praise and devotion and being in conversation with God. God was well pleased with what was done, and Noah expressed his faith and devotedness to God. The foundation for sacrifice is laid in the fixed will of God, in his fixed purpose to assert righteousness. The flood washed away the race of wicked men, but it did not remove sin from man's nature. Let's look at Genesis 8, verse 21. So this fragrance is going up to God. And the aroma, it says in 21, smelled pleasing to God, and he said in his heart, never again will I curse the ground because of humans. Even though every inclination of the human heart is evil from childhood, and never again will I destroy all the living creatures as I have done. So what does that text teach us? Well, three things. No act of worship goes without God noticing. What? When I'm down here and I'm praising God, God sees that? Yes. And when there's divine deliverance, God saw that? Yes. And number two, sacrifice is important. We don't sacrifice animals anymore. But what is a sacrifice that you have done to show God that you love him and you will do anything for him and you will follow him and his will is your will? And number three, human intercession vitally affects the interests of our race. God sat up and took notice when Noah did what he did. That's my man. He's my righteous man. He's the head of his home, and he is telling his family to love the Lord their God with all their heart, soul, mind, strength. Genesis 8, verse 22, God tells Noah that the earth would have day and night, seed time and harvest, and while the earth remains and man upon it, God's providence will cause the course of times and season to go on. God graciously declared he would never drown the world again. And so our gratitude, we need to say thank you to God alone for that. Because without God's grace and mercy on Noah, on his family and the animals, would we be here to celebrate today? Number 11, God commands Noah and his family to be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. Genesis chapter 9. They were now free to go about and start again. In a trial or testing period, we don't always have the same opportunity to start again, do we? But it's here that God says, hey, go. Be fruitful, multiply. Do you think he said it and he had a smile on his face? Well, if God smiled, yes. He says, start again with whom you have. Go forth, dream, have families, and remember God's always here for you. I've proven myself to you. Yeah, he proved himself in a big way. And number 12, God sends a rainbow as a reminder that he will never destroy the earth again by a flood. The rainbow is from the Bible. Let me just tell you that. God's decision to not destroy the earth by flood again is revealed to Noah in the form of a covenant, a promise. What could be more valid than a promise for the one true God? From the one who just saved you and your family and wiped out the rest of mankind, it was his word that you followed and obeyed in each directive, and he brought you through. What a God we serve. Can I get an amen? Amen. Yeah, what a God we serve. Okay, but sometimes it is hard to have a thankful heart. I get it. Some of us may be going through deep waters. And what does God want us to do? Well, just like Noah did, God wants us to trust him. Trust him. Psalm 23, verse 4. David says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. That's trust, folks. It's a choice. I choose to trust you, even though I'm going through deep and dark waters. Even though I don't know where tomorrow is going to look like, I choose to trust you. It's in the knowing. When I choose to trust him, that's where God shows himself. Here's some words that maybe you've heard about, but you don't really know what they mean. Here's what it means. God is powerful. That's omnipotent. God is present. Omnipresent. Always present. God is all-knowing. He's wise. He's smart. He is way above anybody's intelligence level here. He's omniscient. And God is a God of love, and we know that word because it's an agape relationship that we have with him. You know what else? He's not leaving you. His word says he will never leave you nor forsake you. You're not alone. And because of these things, knowing that who my God is and what I've read, I believe and I can be thankful to a God that I trust. Well, maybe you're facing some rough waters right now in your life. Well, here's another promise for you. He shall have dominion from sea to sea. Psalm 72, verse 8. Man, that sure is a long way. He shall have dominion. Think about how deep the ocean water is. When you've been out on the water and you think of how far does that actually go down? You know what? How much deeper is the Father's love for you? For you! In the New Testament, when we read when Jesus was on the boat asleep with the disciples during a really violent windstorm, Mark 4, verse 39 tells us the disciples were scared and they didn't know what to do. And so they woke up Jesus, and Jesus rose and he said to the storm, quiet! Peace, be still. That's our God! That's the God that you serve! He just came up and spoke to the water and said, peace be still. He can do that in your life. Rough waters are nothing for God. God stilled the waters with just his spoken words. So if you have rough waters that you're facing today, then choose to steady the course in your life with Jesus. People may laugh at you at times. Why would you believe in that God? Where is he? I can't see him. People may disagree with you. No, there's no God. There's no God. Oh, those are just stories. Stay the course. Steady. Be obedient to God's word. Noah did. See, there are lessons to learn in those rough times. And although we don't like rough times and we say, God, why? There's lessons to be learned. And it's for you to be encouraged. It's for you to be lifted up. It's for you to bring you to a higher place in your relationship with God. was reading this book while I was away, and it has many different chapters that some different women had written about their faith and their life's journey. And I was reading this one, and it was about Margaret Gibb. And I don't know, maybe some of you have heard of her. She's a name in the PAOC circles. Very interesting. She said, emotional upheaval is so very difficult to deal with. Yet from a much higher perspective, no matter what unexpected changes and challenges that we experience, God's love never diminishes. His grace never lessens. His anointing never lifts. His peace never fades. And his faithfulness never falters. God will work to unfold his plan in your life. It's only a matter of time, so just trust him. Let me encourage you with this. There's enough resurrection power in the heart of a believer to rise in the face of any tough circumstance. Do you hear me? There's enough power in you to rise up. I can't do this, God. I can't. Yes, you can, believer. You can today. And it's in thanksgiving that God sees your loving heart for him. And it's there where God goes, I'm going to lead you through. Trust me. Come on. He's going to lead you through. Oh, you weren't supposed to see that. There we go. Seas that can be shaken can be calmed and broken by the sound of his voice. Quiet. Peace be still. He probably didn't even say it in a loud voice. He'll do this for me. He'll do it for you. Through it all, Noah's eyes were on the Lord. He believed in the midst of doubts, disbelief, discord, sin all around him, but he set his eyes on the Lord and his plan. He did not let go. He trusted. He depended on God before there was talk of a flood. He unswervingly relied on God when he got the plan to build the ark. He was not shaken as he built the ark. He was encouraged that God did speak to him of the plan to save his family. He was unwavering when God shut the door and the rain started to pour. And he knew that God would take care of them. And he believed in God through the 371 days of waiting on the ark. And he thanked God for his goodness with his sacrificial offerings as soon as he touched land. Folks, that's our God. There's a popular Christian song, and it goes like this. The waves and wind still know his name. Through it all, my eyes are on you. Through it all, it is well. So let go, my soul, and trust in him. The waves and wind still know his name. So let go, my soul, and trust in him. The waves and wind still know his name. Soul, are you thankful today? He's a God that supplies, and he's worthy of our praise. Band, join me. Would you stand and join me? I've asked the band to sing this song, but if you look up at the presentation here. Oh, one more. It's okay. The waves and winds still know his name. Can you just close your eyes right now? You know, and I know it's Thanksgiving and some of you may have to get to family, but these next few moments, kind of crucial. It's called response time. The altars are open. If you want to come and just pray and say, God, I just want to love on you and thank you. You can do that in your seat too. You can do it by worshiping, raising your hands and praising God. But this is the time, folks, even if it's just for a few moments, to say, thank you, God, from a rich and grateful heart. We're going to sing Thanksgiving to our Father, and it's called Good, Good Father.